interest of the hearer again, like that. Brahma kobotti tadyastu takshakat prana viplavat na sammo mohuru rubhyad bhagavate arpitashaya.
Furthermore, Maharaj Parikshit was always consciously surrendered to the personality of Godhead, and therefore he was neither afraid nor overwhelmed by fear due to a snake bird which was to bite him because of the fury of a Brahmana boy.
Okay, so Brahma kopotita dhyastu takshakat prana viplavat. Now, he just mentioned in the last verse that Parikshit Maharaj was saved by Brahmastra. And here is the second Brahmastra, which is Brahma kop. Right? This is also like a Brahmastra. The words or the curse of the Brahmana is also like a Brahmastra only. Someone may ask, Krishna saved Parikshit Maharaj from first Brahmastra. Why didn't he save from the second Brahmastra? Right? Krishna didn't save him from the... Actually, Krishna did save him, his verse mentioned. Right? So the second Brahmastra, when was released, Na sammu moh uru bhayat. It was very fearful, the curse, but Na sammu moh. Parikshit Maharaj was not overwhelmed. He surrendered to the Supreme Lord. So therefore, if you see, Parikshit Maharaj was also saved from this Brahmastra by Krishna. Right? Because he took shelter of Krishna. He remained conscious of the Lord. He surrendered to the Lord. Right? He didn't become overwhelmed. He didn't become confused. Right? So that is Krishna's actually main protection. So one should not differentiate between the two protection. One should understand that physically protection over there from in the womb, and herein protecting Maharaj Parikshit consciousness, Krishna offered his protection. And this is actually the main protection. Right? So, difficult circumstances will come in everyone's life. How a person chose to respond, that determines that whether he is under Krishna's protection or not. Not that a person faced a lot of difficulty, that he is not under Krishna's protection. But he could make the right decision in that. He could take shelter of Krishna. That determines whether that person is under Krishna's peak of those who have developed their bhav, who have said bhav bhakti. Then what to speak of those who have developed prem bhakti. One should not even compare it to the association of even those who are practicing devotees. Right? Not to speak of those devotees who develop bhava or prema. Right? One should not compare the full result of the karma and jnana to the particle of association of practicing devotees also, Vishnu Thakur says. He says, just like one should not compare a mustard seed with a Mount Meru. Mount Meru is million yojanas. Right? He said one should not compare mustard seed with Mount Meru. And that's how Vishnu Thakur explains this verse. And he, Prabhupada also, Prabhupada says in the beginning, when there are some similar points, it is possible to compare one thing to another. One cannot compare the association of pure devotees to anything material. Right? The beginning. And then Prabhupada says in the last 5-6 lines, the materialist is called Yoshit Sanghi, or one who is much attached to material entanglement. Right? So, here the word Bhagavad Sanghi is used. So, make a contrast between Bhagavad Sanghi and Yoshit Sanghi. There is a verse in the third canto, Na Tathasya Bhaven Moho. Prabhupada is actually writing the translation in the 5-6 lines. Na tathasya bhaven moho bandhas chanya prasangata Yoshi Sangad Yatha Pumso Yatha Tat Sangi Sangata. The bondage or the bewilderment that comes by association, by materialistic association, is not as much as the bondage that comes by association with women or those who are attached to women. Yoshit Sangi. It's about Narayan Parayan devotee of the Lord. What are the characteristics of such a great devotee? So Prabhupada, first point Prabhupada makes is, such a person who Narayan Parayan is never afraid of any place or person, not even of death. For him, nothing is as important as the Supreme Lord. That's the first point. And then Prabhupada makes the second point. In all conditions, if you see this is the seventh line of the purport, in all conditions and in all circumstances, remembrance of Narayan is essential. The Narayan Parayan practices this constantly. That means he is always remembering the Lord Narayan in any condition. He doesn't mind going to any place, not afraid of any circumstances, not even of death. Second thing is, he is afraid of one thing only. Basically, second point, that is forgetfulness of Narayan. Therefore, a Narayan Parayan devotee, he always remembers Lord Narayan constantly. And he prays that his remembrance may continue in whatever circumstances he may be. Right? Then, third thing is, Prabhupada in the last 3-4 lines of the purport about Narayan Parayan devotee, the devotee never goes against the will of the Lord. Anything sent by God is a blessing for the devotee. Right? So he accepts the will of the Lord for him. Guru text 3. Utsrijya sarvata sangam vigyata ajita samsiti vyasakir jaho shishyo gangayam samkalevaram.
Furthermore, after leaving all his associates, the king surrendered himself as a disciple to the son of Vyasa, Sukhdev Goswami, and thus he was able to understand the actual position of the personality of Godhead.
Okay, so after he was cursed, he surrendered himself to Vyasadev, and Vyasakir Joho Shishyo Gangayam Samkalevaram. Joho means gave up. So after he surrendered Sukhdev Goswami, after he heard from him, this verse also mentioned that he gave up his body on the bank of Ganga. Right? So in 3 verses, his birth, then his being cursed, but not, he was cursed but he was not bewildered by that. And then he surrendered to Sukhdev Goswami and gave up his body. Right? So in 3 verses, he just gives a brief summary. The word here is Vigyat Ajit Samsithi. Right? The word Ajit is used over here. That means Utsrijya Sarvata Sangam. So this verse says that he gave up all material association, and Vigyat Ajit Samsithi. He realized the Lord Ajit at the time of death. So Prabhupada says the word Ajit is significant here. The personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, is known as Ajit or unconquerable, and he is so in every respect. No one can know his actual position. He is unconquerable by knowledge also. Right? But Parikshit Maharaj was actually able to conquer that Lord who is Ajit. Right? Because he is conquered by those who hear about him, as Lord Brahma has said in 10.14, Jnane Prayasamudpasya. So by the grace of, Prabhupada points out towards the end, that by the grace of Sukhdev Goswami, and by hearing from him, he could understand or know the factual position of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is otherwise unconquerable. So knowing Krishna Tattvata is synonymous with conquering him. Right? Krishna says, one who knows me in truth, right? Then he comes back to me. Right? What is that Bhagavad Gita verse? Janma karma cha me vidyam evam yo veti tattvata. So knowing Krishna factually is synonymous with actually conquering him. Krishna is conquered by those. Right? But as we had discussed, that how no one can know Krishna factually without actually rendering devotional service. Right? Or if one knows Krishna factually, he fully surrenders to him. That is connected. Like that. Okay, text 4. Nautama shloka varta nam jushatam tat katham ritam syad sambhramant kalepi smartam tat padam bhujam.
This was so because those who have dedicated their lives to the transcendental topics of the Personality of Godhead, of whom the Vedic hymns sing, and who are constantly engaged in remembering the lotus feet of the Lord, do not run the risk of having misconceptions even at the last moment of their lives.
Okay, so in 3 verses, just briefly, his birth, activities and death are narrated. So someone may feel, you know, Maharaj Parikshit just made a silly mistake, you know, and ended the whole happy chapter. You know, he was such a powerful king, but you know, in this world it has been seen, you know, some very powerful people may make a small mistake and then their whole, you know, fortune may become misfortune. It happens in this world. So one may feel, you know, some people may feel, you know, very silly mistake, you know, and ending of the happy chapter. He said, no, those who surrender their life to Krishna, this is a very beautiful verse, na uttama shloka varta naam jushatam tat kathamritam syat sambhramo antakalepi. Na applies to syat sambhramo. Those who are uttama shloka varta naam, those who always live hearing the topics of Krishna, jushatam tat kathamritam, those who cultivate taste for hearing about Krishna, na syat sambhramo antakalepi, they cannot just be confused at the end and just make a small mistake and everything is ruined. He said, no, don't think that the king got bewildered and got confused for momentarily and, you know, then everything was ruined. It happened in this world. You know, somebody may be having a very bright career, this, that, but he makes one mistake and the whole thing is doomed. So he said, no. So actually, this word is giving very assurance also that devotees, those who seriously practice Krishna consciousness, it's not that one day, you know, they will just be bewildered and they will just, you know, be forever lost. He said, no. Those who are cultivating hearing about Krishna, they cannot be confused and bewildered like that. Krishna will protect their consciousness. Right? So, in this world, there is always a lot of uncertainty. You know, you never know in this material world, today someone is very good, tomorrow he may just become crazy and go against you. It happens so many times. The powerful demigods like Brahma and Shiva are engaged in the worship of Vishnu or Lord Krishna. Therefore, who can be more powerful than Mukunda to be factually called the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Right? Ko naam aloke bhagavat padartha. Who else can be called Bhagavan? Right? Goddess Lakshmi, she is eagerly engaged in his service. Lord Brahma and Shiva, they collect and hold the water, they touch his lotus feet. Who else can be called Bhagavan? Yatra anurakta sahasaiva dhira Vapo Yadeha Dishu Sangamudam Mrujanti Tatpa Ramaham Samanantyam Ramaham Samantyam Yasmin Ahimso Pashamasu Dharma.
Self-controlled persons who are attached to the Supreme Lord, Shri Krishna, can all of a sudden give up the world of material attachment, including the gross body and subtle mind, and go away to attain the highest perfection of the renounced order of life, by which non-violence and renunciation are consequential.
Another thing which is mentioned herein is that he alone can be Bhagawan, because yatranurakta sahasev dhira. Otherwise, where are such persons by worshipping those persons, by worshipping this Lord, they actually become totally detached from all, everything material. Right? So therefore, he alone can be called Bhagawan, and the great sober men, the dhiras, are proof of that. Because by worshipping him, they become totally detached. Vipaya deha dishu sangamudam. Right? Show any other person who can become completely detached, right, without worshipping the Supreme Lord. If there is any other person, dimag sadak gaya, koi bolta hai, mera dimag sadak gaya, bas uske gale mein dal diya. So no, those who are practicing Krishna consciousness very seriously, Bhagwan aisa dimag nahi sadakne denge. Krishna enters the mind and intelligence and helps the devotee to take the right decision, right? So impulsively, it's not that impulsively a person will just take the... Of course, here it is. It is for the devotees who are, again, who are actually very serious from the very beginning in cultivation of Krishna consciousness, right? But there are others, we know that Krishna purifies them many ways. There are others who may cultivate anarthas also. They may not be willing to give up, and they may fall down at some point of time. They may have to go through intense purification. But a person who is like of the caliber of Maharaj Parikshit, who is actually dedicated to Supreme Lord in every word and action, they cannot run, you know, they cannot be just confused or like that. Yes. Yeah, that is that is Mahabharata's version. Again, it's a different perspective taken from different aspects. So Mahabharata gives a perspective that because Maharaj Parikshit allowed Kali to live in these four places, so he was influenced by Kali. But the Vaishnavacharyas refute that. That is sometime, you know, just to caution the people that, you know, they should be aware of that if they, you know, stock gold and accumulate too much more than necessary, then one may be influenced. Even Maharaj Parikshit was influenced. So that may be, for less intelligent people, that lesson may be given. But actually, that is the difference between Mahabharata perspective and Bhagavat perspective. Right? So there also you can understand. So Mahabharata is a very less intelligent people. They will not be able to understand that how Maharaj Parikshit, Mahabhagavata, made no mistake, and he was being directly being carried by the will of Krishna. Right? But if less intelligent people, they are not given this perspective, because then they, whatever rubbish they may do, they may think I am being carried by Krishna's will. You got the point? So therefore, that kind of perspective is not easy to for a person to understand also. Right? That Maharaj Parikshit doing such an act is the will of Krishna. It's very difficult to understand. So therefore, Mahabharata doesn't talk of that perspective. That is Bhagavata perspective, right? Which will become more clear. Right? So there's a difference between the two. Okay, Prabhupada writes in the purport. The highest perfection of life is attained by remembering the transcendental nature of the Lord at the last moment of one's life. This perfection of life is made possible by one who has learned the actual transcendental nature of the Lord from the Vedic hymns sung by a liberated soul like Shukdev Goswami. If you go ahead 3-4 lines, Prabhupada says, thus a submissive disciple is able to live transcendently and continue to the end of life, By scientific adaptation, one is able to remember the Lord even at the end of life. Right? So this is an important term. Prabhupada writes, by scientific adaptation. Right? That means Krishna consciousness is a science. When you say cultivation, it is a science. Right? How should it be cultivated? What is the right thing to do? In what environment it should be cultivated? In what association it should be cultivated? Everything that has to be understood. Therefore, Prabhupada says, by scientific adaptation, one is able to remember the Lord even at the end of the life. When actually it is difficult to remember. Right? Text 5. Tavat kalir na prabhavet pravishtopiha sarvata yavadisho mahanurvyam abhimanyavekarat.
As long as the great, powerful son of Abhimanyu remains the emperor of the world, there is no chance that the personality of Kali will flourish.
Okay, so Vishnuji Raghur had described at another place that as long as Maharaj Parikshit is there, Kali cannot, although the time for Kali has come, Maharaj Parikshit was so powerful that he checked the force of time. Kali could not spread his influence. So Maharaj Parikshit even had the power to control the forces of time at that present. He was so powerful. He checked the flow of Kali, which was supposed to come in due course of time. So therefore, this verse also is indicating that now he has to leave. Right? As long as he is there, Kali cannot exert his influence. But the Kali has to come. So for some time, he checked the influence of Kali. But then Kali has to come, right? Kali has to come for both good and bad reasons that will also be described, right? So because Kali has to come, therefore Maharaj Parikshit has to leave, right? So therefore, this verse is indicating at the departure of Tavat Kalir Na Prabhavet Parvishto Apiha Sarvata Yavad Isho Mahan Urvyam, right? Isho Mahan Urvayam. As this great king who is the devotee of the Lord is there, Kali cannot substantially exert its influence. Abhimanyav Ekarat. Yeah, there is some amount of time. Right? There is not a big time, there is some amount of time for which he actually checked the Kali and just restricted him. Right? For he was about to punish and then he restricted him. But then Kali has to spread. So he could, for some short duration of time, he could even control the time that mentioned by Vishnu Adagir Thakur. I read that section ahead. And Prabhupada praises that actually. That this is the way of good government, Prabhupada says. Prabhupada is that by good governance, you know, the Kali can be restricted. Yasmin nahane yahareva nahane yahareva Bhagavan utsasar jagam tadave tadavehanuvrito vasa adharma prabhavakalihi.
The very day moment the personality of Godhead, Lord Shri Krishna, left this earth, the personality of Kali, who promotes all kinds of irreligious activities, came into this world.
Okay, so this verse describes that how the day Krishna left, that day Kali entered. Okay. And then again Prabhupada says that when Krishna was present, Kali could not exert his influence. Similarly, if the chanting of Krishna's holy name, his qualities, his pastime, etc. are sung, the Kali will not be able to exert the influence. So it's a tug of war between Kali and the devotees of the Lord in one sense. Kali has to exert his influence, right? Maharaj Parikshit restricted the Kali. Prabhupada says the Kali can still be restricted if there is profuse amount of hearing, chanting and remembrance of
Maharaj Parikshit considered that less intelligent men might find the personality of Kali to be very powerful, but that those who are self-controlled would have nothing to fear. The king was powerful like a tiger and took care of the foolish, careless person.
Okay, so it's described that by Vishwanath Thakur that Kali was like an attentive tiger among inattentive men. Right? But those who are attentive, they have nothing to fear from Kali. Rather, for the it's mentioned, Kalim Sabhajante Arya Gunagya Sarabhagina in the 11th canto, that Kaliyuga is rejoiced by those who can see the good quality and separate the good quality, right? Who can see the essence within nonsense and who can separate the two also, right? In this world, there is essence, but mostly it is nonsense. Right? Kaliyuga is full with nonsense, but there is some essence. So therefore, two things. First of all, ability to see the essence within nonsense. That is also very difficult because most of the people see faults in Kaliyuga. They're unable to see the small essence over there, you know, some particle of gold within the filth. The only filth is... So those who have the ability to see the essence and also separate that essence from the nonsense. That's another... Right? So therefore, gunagya, those who can see this essence, sarbhagina, those who can separate the essence. Of, therefore, he said, those of these two qualities, they rejoice that Kali has come. Why? Because in Kali Yuga, just simply by the chanting of the holy name, the highest perfection is achieved. Right? With the minimum effort, with great joy, right? Glorify Sudh Goswami and the nectar coming from his mouth, and they express their eagerness in the 7 verses. So that's the brief flow. We can take a break of 10 minutes. We will continue. Without, you know, Kali Yuga is the very shortcut is given. You know, Kali Yuga, everything is fast, quick, you know, crash course, whatever. So even for Kali Yuga people, to perfect life, the very shortcut path and the very joyful path is given. So therefore, the process of Kali Yuga for the perfection. And again, one good quality mentioned in text 7 is good things, just by thinking of doing good, one receives the result. And bad things have to be actually performed, which is not in other yugas also. Right? So therefore, Kali Yuga has actually many, many, many advantages. We just listed one or two over here, but there are many other advantages of Kali Yuga, which makes the sages who are Gunagya and Sarbhagina rejoice that Kali Yuga has come. Now we'll be able to easily cross this ocean of birth and death simply by chanting the holy name of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ramo, Hare Ramo, Ramo Ramo, Hare Hare. Right? So that is given over here. So those who are dhiras, as text 8 mentioned, Kalina Dhir Bhiruna, those who are dhira, self-controlled, they have nothing to fear of Kali Yuga. Right? Kali Yuga is their friend. Kali is their friend. Right? And those who are innocent, they also can be protected by the dhiras if they listen to their good instruction. Only the miscreants, they have a lot to fear from Kali Yuga. Right? Kali Yuga will take a great toll upon them. Right? So the innocent can be saved by the devotees, but the miscreants will actually be beaten up by Kali Yuga. Kali hat jan. Kali unko pakad pakad ke dhoega. Bhakto ko kuch fear nahi. Aur innocent bhi bach sakte hain if they take good guidance of the devotees. But the miscreants will be Kali hat jan. Like that. Right? So text 9. Upavannitam etadva punyam parikshitam maya vasudeva kathopetam akhyanam yadap apritchata.
O sages, as you did ask me, now I have described almost everything regarding the narrations about Lord Krishna in connection with the history of the pious Maharaj Parikshit.
Okay, so he briefly narrated text 10. Yaya katha bhagavata kathaniyoru karmana gunakarma shrayapumbhi samsevyas tababhushubhi.
Those who are desirous of achieving complete perfection in life must submissively hear all topics that are connected with the transcendental activities and qualities of the personality of Godhead who acts wonderfully.
Okay. Again, Sudha Goswami is saying, Yaya katha bhagavata kathani yoru karmana, whatever is wonderful activity the Lord and perform, they are worth hearing. Kathani Yoru. And one who desires, Prabhu should be one who desires his own welfare, he should give submissive oral reception to these topics. The word sam sevayas is used. Right? Sam sevayas. Rupa Goswami also says, Athashi Krishna namadi na bhaved graham indriye. Sevon mukhe hi jivado. Actually, many times the word seva is used along with hearing. So therefore, that hearing about Krishna is actually serving Krishna. It's non-different from. When one person sits on and gives submissive all the reception, he is actually serving the Lord. Right? Sam sevayastu bhabhushibhi. One should serve these topics of the Lord by hearing about them. Yes, that means it's see this both aspects are there. Basically, they are non-different also in one sense. Serving the Vaishnavas, right? And serving the Lord. When we serve the Lord here, it leads, it inspires us to do Vaishnava Seva. So then service to the Vaishnavas gives us greater enthusiasm to serve the Lord. So this, hearing these topics is actually rendering service. When a person is hearing submissively, right, in the right mood, then that service to the Lord is taking place. Right? Plus when we also engage our body, right, now this is service taking place through by hearing through the ears. When we engage our other faculties also in serving the Vaishnavas, it gives us further impetus to perform this particular service also. Right? So therefore both are very much interconnected with each other. But one should not think that that is service and this is not. One should not think hearing is sense gratification and actually running around is doing service. One should not, right? So one should be able to see that even hearing about Krishna is also important service. Text 12. Karmanyasmin anashvase dhuma 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 dhumratmanam bhavan apayati govinda padapadmasavam madhu.
We have just begun the performance of this fruitive activity, a sacrificial fire, without certainty of its result due to the many imperfections in our action. Our bodies have become black from the smoke, but we are effectually pleased by the nectar of the lotus feet of the personality of Godhead, Govinda, which you are distributing.
Okay, so this is an important thing. So they are saying, Karmanne asmin an ashvase. Ashvasan, you know, ashvasan means some surety, some guarantee. An ashvase, he said, we have begun the sacrifice. There is no guarantee what will the result of this 1,000-year-long sacrifice. Surely our faces will become black. Dhum dhum ratman bhava. The lungs will be filled with smoke. End result we don't know. Right? Opayeti govinda pad padma savam madhu. But what you are speaking, we are already tasting the nectar. The result has already begun. Wo hajar saal ke baad kya hoga pata nahi. वैसे हम फेफड़े सब काले होके सबको यू नो असमा तो होने वाला है, बाकी रिजल्ट मालूम नहीं. बट नाउ इन द बिगिनिंग इटसेल्फ वी आर टेस्टिंग द नेक्टर ऑफ कृष्ण कथा, राइट? वी मेक अदरवाइज दे आर कंपेयरिंग द टू प्रोसेसेस दैट देर इज नो गारंटी ऑफ रिजल्ट ऑफ आवर लॉन्ग सेक्रीफाइस. But we are realizing the nectar in the beginning itself. There is nothing like, check as post-dated check. Right? So Prabhupada, even sometime the devotee said, Prabhupada, what if Krishna is not there? Prabhupada said, but you enjoyed anyway, or you know, you had a good time, such a nice hearing, chanting with devotees, honoring prasadam. And of course Krishna is there, but Prabhupada said, look, we are not giving post-dated check, you know, that you perform this austerity struggle very hard and after, at the end of the life, no. Look, there is blissful at every moment, Krishna consciousness is blissful. And that's what the sages are saying. We have just beginning hearing and we are tasting so much nectar. Right? Results are already visible. Right? We don't have to wait. About this sacrifice, we don't know what will be the result. Right? So they are comparing the two processes over here in like that. Yes. Yes, they came to perform the sacrifice but actually their inclination changed towards hearing. They had more fruitive inclination, the sages in the beginning, but by the association of Sut Goswami and when they began hearing, their fruitive mentality gradually changed into devotional mentality. Right? So therefore they are saying Pad Padma Asavam Madhu. You know Asavam? Asav. There are various kind of Asavs, the medicine in Ayurveda. There is a category of which Asav? There are category of Rasayanas, Asavs. You know, there are many kind of Asavs. Asav is when it's actually there is a with the herbs and some etc., jaggery, etc., whatever, you know, they have some, they bury it and the natural alcohol is produced. So this asav are a little bit intoxicating also. Anyway, this asavs are they have some intoxicating effect also. So therefore, it said Padma Asavam, this Krishna, often this is compared to asav, you know, Padma Asavam. Or Amritasavam, whatever this kind of word is used, that this is very nectarian, at the same time intoxicating. You know, something. So, therefore, this Krishna Katha is very sweet, but also it has intoxicating effect. Right? Just like people take intoxicants outside, you know, to forget misery. Therefore, when the devotees they taste this nectar, they're also intoxicated, they forget this material world. They're absorbed. Right? So it has a different intoxicating effect. That is not sweet, yes. Here is a sweet intoxicant. Text, sorry? Chapter 1? Okay. Yeah. Yes, no, Vishwanath Thakur says that prominent is the fruitive mentality. They came to perform the sacrifice, but their prominent mentality was the fruitive mentality in the beginning of the sacrifice. That was in proportion less, what is mentioned. The more proportion was the fruitive mentality, but later, with the association of Sut Goswami, their mentality became prominently devotional, like that. Yes. They already, at that point, in the very first chapter only it is mentioned by Vishwanath Thakur. Their meeting with Sut Goswami changed their inclination. They came with one inclination, but then their inclination changed in the very beginning only. Or it could also be said of the, well, we'll have to check that out, that it could be said of the majority of them also. You understanding? For the majority of them together. Right? Some of the sages like Shaunak Adarth may already have devotional mentality. But when a statement is made, it is for the journal, speaking to great sages. Right? So So therefore, Prabhupada says he has a double association. He heard from great souls in the association of great souls, now he is speaking to also great souls. Therefore, it could refer here to both, that I am so fortunate to have an association previously, now also I am having your association, therefore I am able to overcome my disqualification. Right? Yes. Huh? Sut, he also Rom Harshan Sut. Mixed marriage. He was born from it's mentioned in the history, right? From a Kshatriya father and a Brahmana mother, or the opposite? Or the opposite, one of the two. One is Anulom, one is Pratilom marriage. Right? When a Brahmin and Kshatriya are married, but actually that marriage is allowed. The Kshatriya, the Brahmana father and Kshatriya, that is allowed. But when opposite takes place, right, that produces a disqualification. That is Pratilom. The father is Kshatriya, mother is Brahmana. That marriage produces the person born from Brahmana mother, from Kshatriya father. So therefore the birth is a mixed. There is a disqualification in the birth. Yeah, father should be equal or higher. Like that. Okay, we go to text 19. Kuta punargrana tu namatasya mahattamekanta parayanasya yonanta shaktir bhagavan ananto mahat gunatvad yamananta mahu.
And what to speak of those who are under the direction of the great devotees, chanting the holy name of the unlimited, who has unlimited potency, the personality of Godhead, unlimited in potency and transcendental by attributes, is called the Ananta, unlimited.
In journal. Go to text 13. Tulyam lavenapi na swargam na punarbhavam bhagavat sanghi sangasya martyanam kim mutashisha.
The value of a moment's association with the devotee of the Lord cannot even be compared to the attainment of heavenly planets or liberation from matter. And what to speak of worldly benedictions in the form of material prosperity, which are for those who are meant for death.
Okay, so remember the sages are speaking. Tulyam lavenapi na swargam na punarbhavam. So they are saying that for a small amount of time, the association with pure devotee like you, they are saying, Suta Goswami, it can't be compared to attainment of swarga or even liberation. What to speak of martyanam kim utashisha? What to speak of worldly benedictions which end with the body? Right? So Vishnu Thakur gives a very brilliant purport. He said, we should not compare the result of karma and jnana with a small particle of association of devotees. And he says, let us not compare even full result of karma and jnana with a small particle of association of even sadhaka bhakta, he says, practicing devotees. He said, one has perfected one's path of karma and jnana, one should not compare the full result expected of karma and jnana with a small particle of association of even practicing devotees, he says, not to talk of. Then he says, then what to speak? Okay, so then he says, just by association one can be purified. What to speak of kutah punar grinato naam tasya mahatme kant parayanasya. Again, you see, he uses the same phrase, you know, which the Kusha sages had talked about, you know, mahatme kant parayanasya. For the third time, this line is coming in this context. Then in the Navasut Goswami is saying, what to speak of chanting the names of the Lord who is the supreme shelter of the great devotees, Mahatmakant Parayanasya. What is the meaning? Kuta punar, then how much more benefit? He's already said by the association of devotees, one can be free from the disqualification. Now he says, next verse, kuta punar grinato naam tasya. So Prabhupada explains what to speak of chanting the holy names under the shelter of great devotees. And Prabhupada says, chanting the holy name under the direction of pure devotees is offenseless chanting. That's very beautiful insight Prabhupada gives in the middle of the purport. Probably this could be the 10th or 12th line of the purport. To chant the holy name under the direction of a pure devotee is offenseless chanting. Right? So if one is having the shelter of a pure Vaishnava who is offenseless in his own practice of Krishna consciousness, if one is guided by such a person, his chanting is also offenseless. Right? In general, by association of great souls, one is greatly benefited. What to speak of chanting the holy name of the Lord under the shelter of pure devotees? Right? What to speak of that? And then Prabhupada again gives a very beautiful insight in the last few lines of the purport. The Lord's unlimited power is extended on and on by the unlimited, said one, or it's mentioned by Vishnu Thakur, says the association of Yoshit Sanghi, means those who are addicted to associate with women, is more dangerous than association with women directly. The association of those who are addicted to women, their association is more detrimental than the association of women. Similarly, the association of those who are dedicated to Bhagwan is more beneficial than association of Bhagwan directly. Vishnu Thakur draws this comparison from this verse. Right? One is more detrimental and here is more beneficial. Therefore, the association of Bhagavad Sanghi is more beneficial than association of Bhagwan. Association of Yoshit Sanghi is more detrimental than association of Yoshit women directly. Therefore, he said, one should not compare the association of Bhagavad Sanghi to anything else. Right? That's how beneficial is the association of those who are dedicated or addicted to always hear and chant about Krishna. Therefore, tulyam lavenapi na swargam na punarbhavam. Root text 14. Konam trippet rasavit kathayam. Mahatmekanta parayanasya nantam gunana magunasya jagmur yogeshwaraye bhava padma mukhya.
The personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna, Govinda, is the exclusive shelter for all great living beings, and his transcendental attributes cannot even be measured by such masters of mystic powers as Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma. Can anyone who is expert in relishing nectar, rasa, ever be fully satiated by hearing topics about him?
Okay, so ko naam trippet rasavit kathayam. One who is rasavit. Rasavit means one who understands how to enjoy or relish. Rasavit, how to enjoy rasa, right? Just like some people know that today is amras, they bring a big dolchi in the lunch, right? They are rasavit. Otherwise, they may bring a small glass, you know, for lunch. But when there is a special item, they bring their special, you know, big dolchi. You know, seen brahmachari ki dolchi with the handle, the bigger one, right? Then they bring out that when the special item is there. So they are rasavit, you know, they know how to enjoy or relish rasa, right? So, here in saying, who is a person, Rasavet, who knows how to relish the transcendental name pastimes of the Lord. Now, the Lord is described herein as Mahattam Ekant Parayanasya. Mahattam Ekant Parayanasya. Mahattam is the great souls. He is their exclusive shelter. Right? And Na Antam Gunanam, who has Agunasya, the Lord who has unlimited spiritual qualities. Right? Or the unlimited spiritual qualities of the Lord who is without material qualities. Na Antam Gunanam, Na Antam Gunanam, Agunasya. There is no end to his spiritual qualities, but he is Agunasya. So the word is Ko Nam Trippet Rasavit Kathayam. Who can be satiated? Now understand, the word Trippet, sometimes Trippet is translated as satisfaction. But there is a little bit difference. Who can be satisfied, sometimes it is said, doesn't imply dissatisfaction. It means satiation. Who can be fully satisfied? Although the person is increasing, see, by hearing about the Lord, as one progresses in one's Krishna consciousness, there is increasing satisfaction and increasing dissatisfaction. The dissatisfaction is trippet. He is not satiated, actually. You understand? That dissatisfaction is not like the material dissatisfaction, which produces moroseness. There is an increasing satisfaction. At the same time, a person is not satiated. His eagerness to have more increases. Right? So therefore, in one sense, ko nam trippet. Also the word ko nam here refers to, so who can be satisfied about hearing about Krishna, who is exclusive shelter of the devotees, mahattam ekant parayanasya. He has unlimited spiritual qualities and is without material qualities. And jagmur yogeshwara ye bhavapad mukhya. Right? And no one can fully describe his unlimited qualities, even Lord Brahma and Shiva, who are Yogeshwaras. Here Yogeshwara refers to Brahma and Shiva. Jagmu Yogeshwara ye bhavapad mukhya. So Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, they, none of them actually can measure the quality, unlimited qualities of the Lord. So who, ko nam trippet, who can be satiated? Right? Who can be satiated? Ko nam means someone may say, you know, there are people who can be satisfied, you know, who can be satiated, they feel. He said, okay, ko nam, nam batao unka. Ko nam refers to specific, is a more specific. Ko nam trippet, who is there such a person? Sometimes you make a generic statement, you know, aise honge log, nam batao. Right? Who is a rasavit, who knows how to taste and he can be satiated. That means, here it is indicating there can be no person who can be fully, who become satiated. He said, I am now completely satisfied by hearing. Right? No, he said, I want to hear more and more. No one will, you will not find anyone who will say, now I don't want to hear enough of it. You know, not like that. That's why it is indicated over here. Right? And Prabhupada quotes this verse from Padma Puran. Ramante yogino anante satyanand chidatmani. Right? The Ramante yogino anante, the Lord is anant, and the great yogis, the devotees, they always increasingly hear about the unlimited Lord. They unlimitedly they go on hearing and they are never satiated. Right? So this verse is quoted in the similar context. Text 15. Tanno bhavan vai bhagavat pradhano mahattame kand parayanasya hare rudaram charitam vishuddham shushrushatam no vitano tu vidvan.
O Suta Goswami, you are a learned and pure devotee of the Lord. because the personality of Godhead is your chief object of service. Therefore, please describe to us the pastimes of the Lord, which are above all material conception, for we are anxious to receive such messages.
Okay, so Swishan Tanno Bhavan Vai Bhagavat Pradhano. Right? You are the chief devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Right? Tanno Bhavan Vai Bhagavat, you are the chief devotees of the Lord. Who is, again they describe the Lord as Mahattam Ekant Parayanasya. Mahattam Ekant Parayanasya. Last verse also, the second line of the last verse, if you see, Mahattam Ekant Parayanasya. Who is the shelter of all the great devotees? Right? So the Lord is the supreme shelter of the great devotees. That is Mahattam Ekant Parayanasya. Right? Because Shukdev Goswami Maharaj Parikshit is going to fully take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, right? So therefore, this line they are using for the second time. Oh, that Lord, please talk about that Lord, who is the exclusive shelter of his devotees, right? Because Maharaj Parikshit is they are also sensing the mood of Maharaj Parikshit, right? Now the Maharaj Parikshit took exclusive shelter of the Supreme Lord at that end of the life. So therefore they are using this phrase for the second time. Mahattam Ekant Parayanasya. So saying you are the great devotee, you are Bhagavat Pradhano of the Lord who is Mahattam Ekant Parayanasya, and Harir Udaram Charitam Vishuddham. Right? Lord Hari, his activities are Udaram, greatly magnanimous, right? Supremely pure. And Shushrutam no with no tividvan. We are very eager to hear. Right? We are very eager to hear of those activities by hearing which Parikshit Maharaj took exclusive shelter of the Supreme Lord. Right? So in this way, if you see, the qualification of the speaker comes over here in Bhagavat Pradhano, and the quality of the Supreme Lord comes in the second line. Then the subject matter, right? The qualities of hearing about Krishna, the subject matter is Udaram and Vishuddham, that comes the third line, and then the qualification of the speaker, right? Or the hearer, which is Shushrushatam, we are eager to hear, right? So if you see qualification of the speaker, then quality of the Supreme Lord, then qualities of Krishna Katha, and then the qualities of the person who is hearing Krishna Katha. Yeah, so if you see, quality of Krishna devotees, then quality of Krishna, then quality of Krishna Katha, and then the quality of Shrota of Krishna Katha, hearer, right? So the speaker, hearer, Krishna and Krishna Katha. That four in each line, one line talks of that in this verse. So therefore, also a very beautiful verse. Yes. Yeah, qualities of the subject matter and the qualities of the subject also of Krishna, Mahattam Ekant Parayanasya. So the each line talks about like that. So we go to text 16. Sava Mahabhagavata Parikshin Yena Pavargakyamadhrabuddhi Kyamadhrabuddhi ज्ञाने नवया सकी शब्दितेना भेजे खगिंद्रा ध्वज पाद मूलम.
ओ सुत गोस्वामी, प्लीज डिस्क्राइब दोज टॉपिक्स ऑफ द लॉर्ड बाय विच महाराज परीक्षित, हुज इंटेलिजेंस वॉज फिक्स्ड ऑन लिबरेशन, अटेंड द लोटस फीट ऑफ द लॉर्ड, हु इज द शेल्टर ऑफ गरुड़ा द किंग ऑफ बर्ड्स. दोज टॉपिक्स वर वाइब्रेटेड बाय द सन ऑफ व्यासा. Srila Sukadev Goswami.
Dhyamad Uttam. And then Prabhupada says, Maharaj Parikshit was a Uttam or a Mahabhagavat devotee. And for him, for such a Mahabhagavat devotee, Prabhupada says, For him, everything is in relation with the Lord. That last 5-6 lines of the first paragraph. The Mahabhagavata, the first class devotee, see everything in relation with the Lord. And the Lord, and the Lord present in everyone's relationship. And then Prabhupada makes the point. In the middle, I am reading the middle of the second paragraph. Therefore, knowledge imparted by Shukdev Goswami onto Maharaj Parikshit helped him attain the service of the Lord. Right? Which is same, the lotus feet of the Lord represents service of the Lord actually. And this stage of perfection is called Apavarga or the perfect stage of liberation. Simple knowledge of liberation is material knowledge. Actual freedom from material bondage is liberation. Okay, so last verse of the second section. Tanna param punyam samritartham. Akhyanamatyadbhutayoganishtham Akhyahinanta charitopapannam Parikshitam bhagavatabhiramam.
Thus please narrate to us the narrations of the unlimited, for they are purifying and supreme. They were spoken to Maharaj Parikshit and they are very dear to the pure devotees, being full of bhakti yoga.
Okay, so Tanna, please narrate. Again, they express, as Sudh Goswami has already said, you know, he is going to narrate Bhagatam, right? What I heard, yatha dhitam yatha matihi, right? In the very beginning only he said that I will narrate Bhagatam, right? Tatra kirtayo, he said that was narrated by Vipra Rishir, right? I will speak. So now they again request him over here in Tanna param punyam samvritartham, which is narrate that akhyanam, which is ati adbhut yoga nishtham, right? So the many qualities of Krishna katha or narrations or Bhagatam, one can say over here in that, first of all, it is param punyam, it is supremely purifying. Please narrate those what was heard by Maharaj Parikshit, right, from Shukadeva Goswami, which is supremely purifying, param punyam. And then akhyanam ate adbhut yoga nishtham, right? That wonderful narration which fixes a person in devotional service, yoga nishtham. And parikshitam bhagavatabhiramam, right? What was heard by Maharaj Parikshit, and these activities are very particularly very dear to the Bhagavatas. Please speak Srimad Bhagavatam or the activities of the Supreme Lord, which are Bhagavatabhiramam. In this world, there are activities which are Lokabhiramam, you know, like newspaper, magazines. All the people in general, they take great pleasure, right, hearing about wealth, women, politics, so many things. Lokabhiramam. Darsha munimasinam. Shantam milita lochanam.
Once upon a time, Maharaj Parikshit, while engaged in hunting in the forest with bow and arrows, became extremely fatigued, hungry and thirsty while following the stags. While searching for a reservoir of water, he entered the hermitage of the well-known Samika Rishi and saw the sage sitting silently with closed eyes.
Okay, so Prabhupada says in the purport beginning, the Supreme Lord is so kind to his pure devotees that in proper time he calls such devotees up to him and thus creates an auspicious circumstance for the devotee. Right? So all that's mentioned that Maharaj Parikshit became extremely fatigued, hungry and thirsty. Prabhupada is saying that Supreme Lord has created an auspicious circumstance. Right? So although this is actually very awkward circumstance. You know, he's extremely fatigued, hungry and thirsty. It is very awkward circumstance. But for devotees, even the awkward circumstances are auspicious. Sometimes a devotee may be in very difficult circumstance, but he should have faith that because I am worshipping the Supreme Lord, the Lord has sent this awkward situation, this is also auspicious. Right? This is like the son of Shivas Thakur died while Kirtan was taking place. It was a very awkward circumstance, you know. The death has taken place. But Shivas Thakur had the vision to see that this is very auspicious. He said, I am not so fortunate as this child to leave the body when Mahaprabhu is doing Kirtan. Right? He understood that it is very auspicious. So therefore, to see the auspiciousness in very awkward situation requires great amount of faith. But these activities of the Supreme Lord, you speak of these activities which are Bhagavata Abhiramam, which the pure devotees like Maharaj Parikshit relish. Okay? So in this way, they express their eagerness in the seven verses. Right? Just quickly go through the seven verses, a recap, the flow of the seven verses. We can just quickly go through. Right? In the text 11th, they say that they thank him for giving nectar. Right? So you see, the flow can be around the nectar. The word nectar can be the central thread about which the seven verses can be understood. So they think that your talks are like the nectar. Right? They thank him. And the second, in the 12th verse, they say, we can factually taste this nectar in the beginning. Right? In the next verse, this is your association, movement of our association is more valuable. Right? Then even going to Sorga and even achieving liberation. Right? Because we are able to taste this nectar. Right? So therefore free association is more valuable. That was the 13th verse. Then they say, we are not satiated. Please continue to speak this nectar. Right? Please bestow this nectar more. Shushrushatam, we are not satiated. We want to have it more. And then in the 16th verse, specifically they say, please speak the nectar that was heard by Maharaj Parikshit. Right? And then in the next 17th verse, they are saying that how this nectar is supremely purifying and fixes a person in devotional service, which is Parampunyam and Yoganishtham. These two words are important. So in this way, though these three states will be dealt ahead in the, you know, the different features, it will be given that how even the mind is inactive in the wakefulness, the both body, mind, intelligence are active. In the dream, the body is not active, but the mind is active. In the deep sleep, both the body and mind are not active, but the intelligence is still active. It's mentioned. But sage was even beyond the three. He was in yogic trance. Right? So therefore, none of these material faculties were acting. Therefore, he didn't realize. And the king asked for water. And Prabhupada says in the purport 27, that such a great devotee and king asked for water from a sage absorbed in trance was certainly providential. Otherwise, there was no chance of such a unique happening. Right? Maharaj Parikshit also is seeing that the sage is absorbed in trance, but he is asking him water. Right? So Prabhupada is saying it's a very unique happening. It's a providential happening. Alabdha trina bhumya dir asamprapta-arghya-su nrita avagyatam ivatmanam manne manaschukopaha.
king not received by any formal welcome by means of being offered a seat, place, water and sweet addresses, consider himself neglected, and so thinking he became angry.
Okay, so Prabhupada's journal talking, in the journal context of reception, Prabhupada gives the purport that the law of reception is that even the enemy should be welcomed in such a way that is shown respect. You know? And the Prabhupada says the last one or two lines, therefore to receive a guest, either friend or foe, there is no expense. It is only a question of good manners. The guest should be received in journal. Now in this case, he was in trance, therefore he was not received at all. There were no Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Good text 18, the third section, 18 to 23, Sudh Goswami, he expresses his humility and describes the power of Krishna Katha. Aho vayam janma bhrito dhyasma vridhyanu vrittya viviloma jata. Doshkulyamadhim vidunoti shigram mahattamanam vidhana yoga.
Shri Sudha Goswami said, O God, although we are born in a mixed caste, we are still promoted in birthright simply by serving and following the great who are advanced in knowledge. Even by conversing with such great souls, one can without delay cleanse oneself of all disqualifications resulting from lower births.
So, so here in Sudha Goswami is basically saying, meaning someone else, something else, totally. But that person felt little hurt, you know. So therefore, as soon as I realize that this person is hurt because of me, my duty becomes to seek forgiveness. So these are some of the very finer Vaishnava principle and etiquettes, observing which helps us to advance and become dear to Krishna. Right? So in this way, this Prabhupada is saying that Shamik Rishi, because of not receiving the king, in one sense he offered a cold reception, although he is unaware, but he has offered a cold reception indirectly. Therefore, there is some etiquette which has breached, unknowingly also. Right? So therefore, Prabhupada says the king was right to get angry, because he was offered such a cold reception, although unknowingly, but the king is right to become angry. But then Prabhupada says that Prabhupada makes another point. But it was natural for the king to become angry, but it was unnatural for the king to become angry because he was such a great devotee. Ordinarily, as a king, you know, if a person is received a cold, given a cold reception, he may become angry. But because he is a Mahabhagavat, therefore it is unnatural that he became angry. For his stature, he should not have become angry. Right? Because the king was himself a Raj Rishi, a great saint. Therefore, it was unnatural, and so it must be accepted, Prabhupada says, that it was so ordained by the supreme will of the Lord. And then Prabhupada says the last 5-6 line, the merciful Lord sometimes create awkward position for his pure devotees in order to drag them towards himself from the mire of material existence. Right? So this awkward situation was created by the Lord. So in this way, Prabhupada gives a he number of points he brings out in this purport. Text 29. Aho vayam janbhrito adhyasma vridhyanu vrityapi viloma jata. That actually I have been disqualified from my birth. Right? From the birth only, because I am viloma jata. Right? I am born from a mixed marriage. Kshatriya, vilom is when a Kshatriya marries a Brahmana lady. Right? So that is Sut. So therefore he's saying there is a disqualification from the birth. But however, Vridhyanu Vrittya that by the association of great devotees, the sages along with whom I heard Srimad Bhagavatam, by their association, my good fortune arose. And also Vishwanath Thakur says that could also refer to association with Sut Goswami, with Sukadev Goswami, which he had, which is more specifically pointed out in the next verse. Right? In general, a person may have some disqualification, but by good association, by following in the footsteps of the great souls, one can overcome that disqualification. Right? That is indicated over here. Yes. Yes, so he refers to he and his father, his family, Vayam, right? Sut. So, so Prabhupada says in the second paragraph, he had the double association of great souls by hearing and preaching. Right? So when he heard in the association of great sages. Now he is... Okay, so Prabhupada writes that how, while he is returning, he began to just contemplate whether the sage was actually unaware of everything or whether he wanted to neglect and avoid a Kshatra Bandhu Bhi. So calling him a Kshatra Bandhu Bhi over here in a lower Kshatriya itself shows that the king is now condemning and repenting his action. Right? So Prabhupada says, the king being a devotee of the Lord did not approve of his own action, and thus he began to wonder whether sage was really in a trance or was just pretending to avoid receiving the king, who was a Kshatriya and therefore lower in rank. Repentance comes in the mind of a good soul as soon as he commits something wrong. It's a very important line. Right? Repentance comes in the mind of a good soul as soon as he commits something wrong. And again Prabhupada says, according to Vishnu Thakur, second paragraph, the plan was made by the will of the Lord. And by the will of the Lord, the situation of frustration was created. Right? So Vishnu Thakur says, it was a desire of the Lord to bring Parikshit quickly to his side. Right? So Vishwanath Thakur points out the desire, what were all were the various desires of the Lord. He expands the desire of the Lord. So first of all, it was the desire of the Lord to bring Maharaj Parikshit quickly to his side, the first desire of the Lord. Second, it was his desire to have Maharaj Parikshit detached from the world by the curse of the sage. It was his desire to bring him to the association of Sukhdev Goswami. It was his desire to appear himself.
Shutva tatredam abraved. The sage had a son who was very powerful, being a Brahmana's son. While he was playing with inexperienced boys, he heard of his father's distress, which was occasioned by the king. Then and there, the boy spoke as follows.
Okay, so the Sringi heard of this incident. Someone told him. Some other boy must have come and told him. So, tasya putro ati tejasvi. This small boy was extremely powerful. He has a lot of Brahmanical power. Ati tejasvi. And Prabhupada says, this word, this first line indicates the qualification of Maharaj Parikshit. How that even a small lad is so tejasvi under his rule. That a small boy became so tejasvi, that means how good his governance was. Right? That's how this indicates that how qualified Maharaj Parikshit was. Right? So, and Prabhupada says, Viharan Balako Arvakai. Vihran Balakaurav. This was Etati Tejasvi, but this second line indicates how inexperienced this child was. As he was very Tejasvi, but immature, inexperienced, this child. That is indicated by the second line. Right? So the first line, Ati Tejasvi, the qualification of Maharaj Parikshit. Second line, he is just playing with the children, is his Shringish qualification or disqualification, whichever way you want to see that. Right? And he heard this thing. And then Prabhupada says in the purport, this is the seventh or eighth line, the inexperienced boy, as indicated by the line 2 as we discussed, gave a chance for the age of Kali to enter into the field of Vedic culture. Hatred of the lower order,
goddess of fortune, even by prayers. But this very goddess renders service unto the Lord, although he is unwilling to have such service.
Okay, so again he is glorifying the Supreme Lord and saying, who can actually etavatalam nanu suchitena, right? Who can actually speak of his unlimited qualities, right? When such a thing is said, that who can describe the Lord fully, that means no one can. When such a question is raised, actually it is indicating that no one can, right? So therefore the Lord, who is asamya anatishayanasya, asamya means no one is equal to him, anatishayanasya means no one can excel him in the qualities, right? So who can actually speak of the unlimited qualities of such a Lord? And further his glory is given, that the great demigods, right, they always seek the favor of goddess of fortune, for who is known to bestow unlimited opulence. But this goddess of fortune is always eager to render service to the Lord, although the Lord is not in need of it. Right? So that goddess of fortune, whom everyone is looking up to, right, that she is looking up to the Supreme Lord. Therefore, how much glorious is that Supreme Lord, who is not in need of anything from the goddess of fortune, who is in most demand in this material world, right? Like that. Athapi yat padana kavashishtam jagat virincho pritha ahranamba
jagat virincho prahatanamba
shesham punatyan natamo mukunda
shesham punatyan namato mukunda
unam loke bhagavat padartha
unam loke bhagavat padartha. Who can be worthy of the name of the Supreme Lord but the personality of Godhead Shri Krishna? Brahmaji collected the water emanating from the nails of his feet in order to award it to the Lord Shiva as a worshipful welcome. This very water, the Ganges, is purifying the whole universe, including Lord Shiva. Okay, so further glorifying the Lord, he is saying, that the water which athapi yat pad nakhavashishtam, the water which touched his lotus feet, right, the nails of his lotus feet, and which is purifying the whole world, was collected by Lord Brahma, his Kamandalu. And he offered that water to Shivji, as you know, the Padyam is offered, Argham is offered. He used that water for Shivji, welcoming Shivji. And Lord Shiva himself holds that water on his head and he feels purified. So that ko naam loke bhagavat padartha, then who else can be worthy of the name Bhagwan? Right? Who else? He said the two main competitors, one is holding Kamandalu, that water, and one is holding on his head. Right? Now the two main competitors are out. Who else is there? Right? Who competes for being, who can be called Bhagawan? Right? Sko naam loke bhagavat padartha. Like that. Prabhupada says in the beginning, the conception of many gods in the Vedic literature by the ignorant is completely wrong.
The Lord is one without a second, but He expands Himself in many ways, and this is confirmed in the Vedas. And in the 10th line or so, Prabhupada says, the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi, and all...
Same plate.
Okay, so if you see that how... How proud and how puffed up his words are. Right? So Prabhupada says, certainly the Brahmana boy came to know that the king asked water from his father and father did not respond. He tried to explain away his father's inhospitality in an impertinent manner befitting an uncultured boy. He was not at all sorry for the king's not being well received. On the contrary, he justified a wrong act in a way characteristic of a Brahmanas of Kali Yuga. Right? So he is only taking one-sided picture, which is the characteristic of Brahmana of Kali Yuga, Prabhupada says. He is justifying the wrong act, right? In a way. So there is, his father also acted wrongly, although unknowingly. Right? But he is not considering that at all. So that's what happened. One person may have committed a small mistake, other may have committed a big mistake. But then both are pointing each other mistake. If even if a one person, each person should actually accept his mistake. Right? Even though it may be a small, a cultured person should accept his mistake. Even if it may be a small, the other person has committed a bigger mistake, or that's another thing. But if one has committed a small mistake, that should be accepted. And if one can accept one small mistake, then the other person can accept his big mistake also. Right? Because I'm not agreeing to accept even a small mistake of mine, I'm only pointing out his bigger mistake, then that person also doesn't accept. Right? So therefore, this is how fights happen in Kali Yuga. No one is ready to accept the mistake. Right? They only show other person's fault. But culture means actually that even if I committed a small mistake, I should accept it. Right? Who is not worshipping Supreme Lord and he may become detached. Therefore, the dhiras are also proof because by worshipping him, they become totally detached. Right? And vrajanti tat param hamsyam antyam is also a very beautiful line. These dhiras, vrajanti means to traverse. Tat param hamsyam antyam. By giving up, by worshipping the Supreme Lord, by giving up material attachment, these people, they are traversing the path of perfection and they reach the stage of being paramhamsya. Right? So actually, in one sense, life is like a journey. Right? So vrajanti means to travel, to traverse. Right? So, His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj has written these two books. Both are beginning with journey. Right? So, if you see, journey home is like achieving a contact with the Supreme Lord. Right? Achieving, it's like a sambandha. If you see, journey home end with sambandha. Then the journey within, which is a longer journey, is the abhideya, following the process. And another journey is mentioned in this verse, vrajanti tat param hamsyam. When a person is able to clear the anarthas, right, the journey, then he takes the journey to the path of perfection. Right? So journey to perfection, that is being mentioned over here, if you see. Right? The highest stage of perfection, journey to this stage is vrajanti tat param hamsyam. Right? So this journey is not known to people in general. Right? If a person can find his path, that is considered great because he has found the right sambandha. If he can actually traverse that path, you know, with the determination, without being deviated, that is like avideya, the journey within. But becoming pure, right, and conquering lust, anger, greed, pride, envy, illusion, then begins another journey. Actually, one should not think that achieving a person who achieves attraction to the Supreme Lord, that is the beginning of another journey. Right? As we were discussing, that prema has further seven stages. After bhava, bhava means he has developed great emotional feeling, attraction towards the Lord. That bhava is the seed of prema. That seed has further seven stages of development. Prema krame bade hai. Right? So prem also increases. So that's a third journey which is not known in general. You know, we think that the perfection ends when you achieve the love for the Lord. But that love has further stages of development. Right? Which is rajanti tat param hamsyam. The paramhamsas, they take another journey. Right? Or the development of love is the beginning of that journey. And the highest stage is the paramhamsa stage. Right? And there bhakti also gradually involves actually. So there is always a growth in bhakti. There is never a point of satiation or cessation actually. Right? There is always increasing growth in the stage of Krishna Prem also. Right? So that journey is also being indicated in this particular verse. Right? That only these people, those who are dhiras, after taking journey home and journey within, they take the journey to the highest path of perfection. Right? Like that. So therefore, who else can be called Bhagwan other than you? Like that. Text 23. Aham hi prishto ryamano bhavadbhir achaksh atma vagamotrayavan Naba patanti atma samam patatranas Tatha samam vishnu gatim vipashita.
O rishis, who are as powerfully pure as a sun, I shall try to describe to you the transcendental pastimes of Vishnu as far as my knowledge is concerned. As the birds fly in the sky, as far as their capacity allows, so do the learned devotees describe the Lord as far as their realization allows.
Okay, so he says, I will speak about the Supreme Lord as far as my capacity allows. Give the example of the bird, right? Sky is unlimited. Akashe anant tate yeche pashki gan. Yar yat shakti tat kare arohan. Right? Jiski jitni shakti hai, utna upar ja sakta hai. The sky is, right? Sky is unlimited. One can go on high as per one's capacity. So therefore he says, I will speak the Lord about the Lord as far as I have realized him, right? By hearing from my superior. So in this way he said, I will speak what Shukdev Goswami spoke to Maharaj Parikshit. Right? So in this way he glorifies the Supreme Lord in this verses and then resolves to speak. Right? So now he again begins by speaking how Maharaj Parikshit was exactly cursed. Right? So then section 4 of this chapter is 24th, verse 24th to 31st, which is Maharaj Parikshit's hunting excursion, which begins with the word Ekada. Ekada dhanurudyamya vicharan mrigayam vane mriganu gatashranta shuditastrishito bhrisham jalashayam chakshana Pravisheshtam ashramam. Dev Goswami is not approving. Said he spoke, his words were like thunderbolts. Right? So by this using this word, he's indicating at the inappropriateness of the curse. We can read the translations now.
The Brahmana's son cursed the king thus. On the seventh day from a today, a snake bird will bite the most wretched one of that dynasty, Maharaj Parikshit, because of his having broken the laws of etiquette by insulting my father.
Okay, so he's saying here in this verse, Shukdev Goswami is indicating that Sringi called Maharaj Parikshit as Kulangaram. Kulangaram means one who, a dynasty, may, Angar is there, right? One who, burns, like he starts a fire to his dynasty, Angar, the initial burning coal is there, and then the whole fire starts and the whole dynasty is destroyed, Kulangaram. And whatever Sringi is calling Maharaj Parikshit, Prabhupada turns that back and throws at Maharaj Sringi only. So actually Sringi is Kulangaram, the whole Brahminical disorder, you know, became corrupted by him, right? So Prabhupada, all the accusation of Sringi, Prabhupada puts upon Sringi himself actually, which is very, very important actually in one sense. Whenever we find out faults with the devotees, we criticize them, immediately we become a part of that fault. No sooner that fault will all manifest in ourselves actually. You can realize that actually. You find a fault at Vaishnavas like this, you know. And in a critical way, if not your service to do that, in a critical way you find faults, that fault immediately become part of yourself. Within no time, that fault will come in yourself. So therefore Prabhupada saying, all these faults he is pointing at Maharaj Parikshit, all these faults are manifesting already in him. Right? Like that. Right? In the Supreme Lord's mercy. But herein Prabhupada is pointing out, Parikshit Maharaj is very thirsty, very hungry, very fatigued, very awkward circumstance, but Prabhupada says it's very auspicious circumstance. And then Prabhupada says, now this verse or this series of verses are like the prelude. Prelude is same as preface to Srimad Bhagavatam. Go to text 26. Pratiruddhendriya prana manobuddhim uparatam sthantrayat param praptam Brahma-bhūtāma-vikriyam. Let's recite the next verse. Viprakīrna-jatā-channam Rauravena-jinena-cha Viśuṣyat-tālur-udakam Tathā-bhūtam-mayācata.
The Muni's sense organs, breath, mind and intelligence were all restrained from material activities and he was situated in a trance apart from the three, wakefulness, dream and unconsciousness, having achieved a transcendental position qualitatively equal with the Supreme Absolute. The sage in meditation was covered by the skin of a stag and long compressed hair was scattered all over him. The king, whose palate was dry from thirst, asked him for water.
Okay, so the sage was beyond the three state of consciousness, which is wakefulness, dreaming and deep sleep. Unconsciousness means deep sleep. There are three states of consciousness. The sage was beyond the three. He was in yogic trance. Right? He was unaware of the externals totally. No seat, no water, no sweet, not even sweet word, nothing actually, which is inexpensive. These things are inexpensive. You know, offer asana, a glass of water, sweet words, doesn't take any expense. So Prabhupada said, therefore, the reception of a guest can be very inexpensive. It is a question of good manners. Right? In general, Prabhupada talks. But herein, the king felt neglected. He didn't receive any of these. Therefore, the king became angry. And Prabhupada says, Maharaj Parikshit was not expecting a royal reception. He was expecting this, you know, some little water and all that. And he was even not given that. He was denied that. Prabhupada says, the cold reception by the Rishi astonished the king greatly. As a matter of fact, the king was right to get angry with the Rishi. You may say, how you can call this a cold reception by the Rishi? Whatever happened, he has come to the Rishi. Even if the Rishi is trance, it is a cold reception. He has not been received. See, so even if you know and you don't receive, you are at a great fault. If unknowingly you don't receive a guest, unknowingly also, still you have a fault. That's how the rules and regulations are. When Ramananda Rai came, Pradyumna Mishra was waiting for him. He didn't know Pradyumna Mishra had come. Still Ramananda Rai begged forgiveness. He said, you have come for so long, I didn't know. I have committed offense against you. You may say, इसको तो मालूम ही नहीं, इनको तो मालूम ही नहीं, ये आके बैठ गए, कैसे ऑफेंस हो गया? That's how the rules are. See, the rules, the Vedic, these rules and regulations in Vedic literature are so subtle that if you do knowingly something, then the offense is greater. Even if unknowingly someone has come to your house and you are sleeping or, you know, in trance, whatever, you know, in different trance, and that person is waiting for quite long, there is some fault on your part which has occurred.
Hearing, remembering, and naturally anartha navritti also happens, and then one can progress like that. Yes, Prabhu. See, Narada Muni, but it is mentioned that what effect did that appearance and disappearance have on Narada Muni? There are verses mentioning that when the Lord disappeared, it was for a specific purpose of increasing the intensity of longing for the Supreme Lord. And that intent, that fire of longing had the capacity to very quickly burn off the very, very small residual impurities which were still there. And then immediately he left his body and joined the pastimes of the Lord, just like lightning and the light appears at the same time. So that is mentioned. So even though he sees the Paramatma form of the Lord, but the bliss that he experiences by such a communion is much inferior in comparison to Narada Muni, who was not seeing the Lord, but that longing to attain that Lord, that bliss was far greater than the bliss that this yogi is experiencing, even though he is taking darshan of the Paramatma form of the Lord. So we are talking about the effect of the effect of seeing the Lord that a yogi is experiencing. Okay. Yeah. Otherwise, if you see throughout Bhagavad,
the fact, you know, because that person is waiting for you, he is feeling neglected. You mean in whatever world, there is some little, and that can be cleared by begging forgiveness. As simple as that. Oh, you know, I am so sorry you had to be inconvenienced. Therefore, I take the responsibility. It's not that, hey, mereko malum hi nahi hai, toh isliye mera kuch offense nahi hai. That is like the modern understanding, you know. Because I didn't know, therefore, there is no offense on my part. But Vedic rule and regulations say, no, take the responsibility. This person has been inconvenienced because of you. Just like Rupa Goswami was laughing. And Bhagawan Acharya, there was a person who was lame, he was walking by. And Rupa Goswami is laughing, thinking of Krishna's Leela in Vrindavan, you know. And this person felt offended. And Rupa Goswami had to take the responsibility. Although there was no connection apparently. You see, how subtle are the rules and regulations. Any Vaishnava is offended because of you. Whether you know or not, whether your intention was there or not, you are little bit implicated. And therefore you are supposed to beg forgiveness and humble yourself as soon as you know of that. Yes. After he gets up. So he's waiting for some time. He's saying he may get up from sleep. Or so he's waiting for some time and he's feeling, you know, I came to meet him, he's taking rest or whatever. He's inconvenienced due to whatever. Right? Although that person may not know. That's what I'm saying. Even if someone is inconvenienced directly or indirectly because of us, in any way, it's our duty to beg forgiveness that you are inconvenienced because of me. Although I never intend to. Even if unintentionally, unknowingly we have inconvenienced someone, the Vedic or the Vaishnav etiquette, at least the Vaishnav etiquette says, please beg forgiveness. That's a part of the Vaishnava etiquette. You understanding? So this is a very subtle rule, which is not a moral rule. Yes. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. No, he is not taking offense. He is not taking offense. He is simply inconvenienced. You understand the point? He simply inconvenienced in some way that he had to wait for a long time. Right? Knowingly and lonely, if anyone is feeling hurt or inconvenienced also, a Vaishnava duty is to seek forgiveness. You understanding the point? Ramanand Rai is doing his drama rehearsal. Pradyumna Mishra comes without appointment. He said, pehle appointment lena chahiye tha. See, there are many rules and moral rules and regulation as such. As per moral rule and regulation, he is not implicated in any karma or something. We are not talking of that. We are talking of finer Vaishnava principles. Finer Vaishnava principle is what? If anyone is inconvenienced because of me, I am involved indirectly also. I am involved unknowingly also, I got involved. A Vaishnava should beg forgiveness. A Vaishnava should humble himself. That humility at every point helps him to advance in Krishna consciousness. So among the understanding, so we are not discussing a karmic principle. You know that person is inconvenienced because of me and then I am getting the karma. No. Not like that. We are discussing the Vaishnava etiquette, the Vaishnava principles. Vaishnava principles entails anyone feels hurt in any way, whether he misunderstood. I said something, he misunderstood it. I never meant to indicate him. But as soon as I know that that person has felt hurt, it becomes my duty to humble myself and beg forgiveness. Actually, even though I never talked about him, I may be talking of someone else, or I may be...
Abhutpurva sahasa Shutridbhyam arditatmana Brahmanam pratyabhut brahman Matsaro manyurevacha
Matsaro manyurevacha. O Brahmanas, the king's anger and envy directed toward the Brahmana sage were unprecedented, being that circumstances had made him hungry and thirsty.
Okay, so again now Shuddha Goswami himself is saying, this behavior of the king is abhutpurva. Abhutpurva sahasa. King has, Maharaj Parikshit was as tolerant as, you already studied his qualities, as tolerant as parents and Mother Earth. Mother is also like a parent, right? Forbearance. Tolerant forbearance as Mother Earth, as the parents are forbearing. He was as tolerant. So therefore, how could he be? And he was protector of the Brahmanas. Therefore, these two qualities which he previously had contradict with this behavior. How can he offend the Brahmana? How can he be so intolerant of the little bit hunger and thirst? Right? Therefore, the word abhutpurva, this is not his nature. Right? This is abhutpurva. Therefore also, Prabhupada says, the last three lines, as the Lord is never envious of anyone, so also the Lord's devotees is never envious of anyone. The only justification for Maharaj Parikshit's behavior is that it was ordained by the Lord. Text 30.
Satu Brahma Risheram Che Katasum Muragam Rusha Nirgachan Dhanushkotya Nidhaya Puramagata.
Being so insulted,
they have sex life, right? Shamelessly. So therefore, that is the Varna Shankara. Go ahead.
The Emperor Parikshit is the pious king. He is highly celebrated and is a first-class devotee of the personality of Godhead. He is a saint amongst royalty and he has performed many horse sacrifices. When such a king is tired and fatigued, when stricken with hunger and thirst, he does not at all deserve to be cursed.
Go ahead.
Then the Rishi prayed to the all-pervading personality of Godhead to pardon his immature boy
who had no intelligence and who committed the great sin of cursing a person who was completely free from all sins, who was subordinate and who deserved to be protected.
Okay, so again, if you see, apapeshu subhrityeshu balen apakva buddhina papam kritam tad bhagavan sarvatma shantu marhasi. So the sage saw if the king had the power to contract the curse and counter curse the boy, if the king would do that, then the boy would be relieved of his, you know, misdeed. But the sage realized that the king is not going to counter this because of his being situated, right? Because that quality will be pointed in the next verse. The king is not going to counter, therefore there is no way to counter the sin of this boy. Therefore, he prays to the Supreme Lord to please forgive this small boy. Right? In this word, seeing no other way of atonement for the sin of his child, he prays to the Supreme Lord. Like that. Text 48. Text 48 is very important verse. Tiraskrita viprilabdha
Shapta shipta hata api
Nasya tat prati kurvanti Tadbhakta prabhavopihi.
Picked up a lifeless snake with his bow and angrily placed it on the shoulder of the sage. Then he returned to his palace.
Okay, so the king, he, while leaving, he just picked up a dead snake, dead lifeless snake, and he put it around the sage neck. Right? So Vishwanathaja Thakur just says, "O Brahmana, I am offering you this delicate garland for your nice welcome given to me." That kind of Vishwanathaja Thakur, here also he inserts some humor. Right, that here is a nice garland for such a nice reception. Right, so like that. And Prabhupada says the king thus treated the sage tit for tat, although he was never accustomed to such silly actions. So for a king, okay, you know, this action in general may not be very wrong and just sense, but for a person like Maharaj Parikshit, it is not his nature to do that. He is the protector of the Brahmanas. He is very tolerant. Therefore, this is Abhutpurvam. Right? Text 31. Esha kim nibhritashesha
Karano militekshana
Nisha samadhi raho svet
Kim nu shat shatra bandhubi Upon returning, he began to contemplate and argue within himself whether the sage had actually been in meditation with senses concentrated and eyes closed, or whether he had just been feigning trance just to avoid receiving a lower kshatriya.
The form of Srimad Bhagavatam, it was his desire to give the taste of his pastimes, such as Ras Leela, to some devotees who would appear in the Kali Yuga. For all these desires, the Lord arranged that Maharaj Parikshit act in this way. Right? So, Vishwanatha Thakur further points out very beautifully, he says, this also shows that the sinful action of his pure devotee, which are committed accidentally, lead to benefit in the future. He says, actually, even the sinful, this is very frustrating or awkward situation created. Externally, he has committed a sinful act. But he's saying, even a sinful act of a pure devotee committed accidentally lead to benefit in the future. His benefit and the benefit of others. Therefore, it is supremely auspicious. Even this outward sinful act of Maharaj Parikshit, because he's a pure devotee, is auspicious for him as well as others. Right? As we discussed that how Lord's will is going to, fivefold will is going to unfold through this act. So the Vishnu Thakur, you can read his commentary of this 18.31. Go to text 32. Now, this is the last section, 32 to text 50. This can further be divided into further subsections also, but the Sringi hearing of this activity, act, and then he cursing, right, and then Shamik Rishi disapproving of his curse. This is the last section of this chapter. Tasya putro adi tejasvi विहरन बालको अर्भके राज्याघम प्रापितम तातम.
Why is he telling therefore? Huh? Explain more. Correct, of course. Huh? Therefore, because this heavenly happiness is in names only, ataha kavihi, the wise men, vyavasaya buddhi, whose intelligence is fixed in determination, as Krishna says, vyavasayatmika buddhi, like that. Apramatta syad, pramatta means distracted, apramatta means focused. So he is very attentive to his goal. What is that goal which is being mentioned here? Liberation. He does not get distracted by all these flowery language of the Vedas, because it will lead one to bahushaka hyanantascha. The intelligence will become mini branched. Therefore, the person whose intelligence is fixed in liberation, he has vyavasaya buddhi, vyavasayatmika buddhi. He says, namasu yavad artaha. He will take only what he needs from this world of names to support the body. Namasu means in this world of names, because everything is temporary. That is Bhagavatam's way of mentioning temporary things. In this world of names, which means now I am drinking water from this glass. Okay? But maybe a year back, this was not glass. You know, this was maybe something, some piece of steel lying in one, in some scrapyard, which people collected and then melted it and made it into a glass. 10 years from now, this may not remain a glass. Okay? So like that, so the existence is in one sense temporary. So therefore, it is in name only. Glass.
Okay, yes.
The magnitude of the effect of the mistake of Sringi is very great, but that of Parikshit is not so great.
No, magnitude effect, what is the magnitude effect of Sringi's mistake?
The king will die.
But that is the will of the Lord, that Parikshit Maharaj to depart. His mistake is bringing Parikshit Maharaj departure. Right? So, ultimately will of the Lord is being executed. Yes. So basically, look, the point is, you, before justifying a mistake, see, like, Parikshit Maharaj did a mistake, no doubt, on a social perspective. He offended a Brahmana, being a Kshatriya. But we don't condemn that mistake. We say, no, this is by will of the Lord. Therefore, Parikshit was not to be condemned. Before one justifies a mistake, what is his past? What is his present thinking and what is the future result has to be seen. These three things. In the case of Maharaj Parikshit, Vaishnavacharya says, never he did abhutpurvam. This is not his nature. Somebody, any shouts at the devotees, wo aaj bhi bola. Bola, iska nature hi hai aisa. Ye chillate rehta hai. Malab, you know, got the point. Somebody who is very soft spoken, he speaks somebody harshly, then it should be considered. So therefore, Parikshit Maharaj, that is not his nature, you know. There is no past of such a thing. And what is his present? He is repentant. Immediately. What is the future of that? He takes shelter of Sukhdev Goswami. Bhagatam comes. What about Sringi? What was Sringi doing? He was playing with the children. You know, he had the tapasya by training his father, but what was he doing before the incident of life began from this Brahmana boy? This Brahmana boy spoke, whatever he will speak now in these verses, it will indicate a hatred of the lower orders. Right? So there were higher and lower orders, but there were no enmity and hatred. So Prabhupada says the hatred of the lower order began from this Brahmana boy under the influence of Kali. And thus cultural life began to dwindle day after day. The first victim of Brahmanical injustice was Maharaj Parikshit. Right? The Brahmanas became too much proud and puffed, and they actually hated and they exploited the lower castes, so many things. This is the beginning, this Brahmana boy, it began from here. 33. Aho adharma pala nam pivanam bali bhujamiva swaminyagham yaddasanam dwarpanam shunamiva.
The Brahmana's son Sringi said, "Oh, just look at the sins of the rulers who like crows and watchdogs at the door perpetrate sins against their masters, contrary to the principles governing servants."
Okay, so he's saying, he's comparing Maharaj Parikshit to just like a crow or a dog, you know, who may come inside the house of the master. Like that. So, Prabhupada says, in the middle of the purport, Prabhupada says, "Herein, Sringi, a qualified son of a great Brahmana, attained the required Brahmanical power both by birth and by training. But he was lacking in culture because he was an inexperienced boy. By the influence of Kali, the son of a Brahmana became puffed up with Brahmanical power and thus wrongly compared Maharaj Parikshit to crows and watchdogs." Right? So although the scriptures describes Brahmana being higher, but that doesn't mean that the Brahmana consider themselves being proud and they condemn other ka. Right? Just like the scripture, they tell the disciple that you worship the spiritual master, he's your master, right? But what does the spiritual master think? Bhaktivinoda Thakur would call his disciple that is Prabhus. That is the culture. See, Prabhupada is saying this Brahmana boy, he has a qualification but his lack of culture. There is a philosophy which is there in the scriptures, but that philosophy, the application of that philosophy requires a particular culture. Otherwise there is a misapplication of philosophy. Right? So the Brahmanas also became proud, the whole Brahmanical culture, the culture destroyed, and then the philosophy, when there is a lack of culture, then there is a misapplication of philosophy, as simple as that. Right? So therefore there is a culture of humility, culture of respect. Right? That is very important. Although the disciple is considered as a humble menial servant, but the spiritual master who knows the culture, he calls his disciples as Prabhus. Right? Nowhere the scriptures enjoin a spiritual master to call his disciple as Prabhu. Is it not? It's not a philosophy as such, but it is a culture that even the spiritual master considers his disciple to be also Prabhus, right? And respects them. Right? So therefore, Prabhupada talks of that how important the culture is for the right application of philosophy. So, therefore here Prabhupada contrasts that. Again, Prabhupada, 2-3 times Prabhupada again says, the king is certainly, he is calling king as a watchdog. Prabhupada says the king is certainly the watchdog of the state in a sense that he keeps the vigilant eyes over the border of the state for his protection and defense. I am reading the same purport, little ahead. But to address him as watchdog is a sign of less cultured boy. The king is a watchdog because he protects the state, but to call him a watchdog, right, is a sign of a less cultured boy. Basically, as soon as a person exhibits, he becomes puffed up and becomes proud, even taking scriptural philosophy, he is becoming ill-cultured. That's the point. Text 34. Brahmane Shatra Bandurhi Grahapalo Nirupita Sakatham Tad Grihe Dvastha Sabhandam Bhoktum Arhati.
The descendants of the kingly orders are definitely designated as watchdogs and they must keep themselves at the door. On what grounds can dogs enter the house and claim to dine with the master?
Hare Krishna. Jayo Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jayo Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopi Jana Vallabha.
But he is not actually the Brahmana boy. And Prabhupada says, this mentality of false prestige, very important line. Right? If you go ahead 4 lines, this mentality of false prestige is the cause of downfall of the perfect social order. Thirty-five.
कृष्णे गते भगवती शास्त्री उत्पथगामिनाम तद्भिन्न सेतु नद्याहम् शाश्मी पश्यदमे बलम्
After the departure of Lord Shri Krishna, the personality of Godhead and supreme ruler of everyone, these upstarts have flourished, our protector being gone. Therefore, I myself shall take up this matter and punish them. Just witness my power.
Right? So, he is saying, you know, Krishna was here and he was protecting the Brahmanical culture. Right? He was instating all the right administration. Now Krishna has gone. These upstarts are flourishing. And now I will curb. Right? I will take up the Krishna's job now in my hands. He is thinking. So he is calling Maharaj Parikshit the upstart, and Prabhupada says he is the upstart. He doesn't know that he has, because Krishna has gone for the same reason, he has been influenced by Kali and he has become upstart. Right? So what the reason he is pointing out is the right, Krishna Gate Bhagavati, but who is influenced he doesn't know. By Kali. After Krishna has gone, Kali has influenced him only because he has come under the, you know, pride actually. Yeah, so he's influenced by false pride. Sorry, what do you say? Okay, so anyway, so no, Kali has to penetrate beyond that, and anyway the intoxication is there by false pride, right? The false pride intoxicates a person, so therefore this person is actually intoxicated with false pride, therefore he is influenced with Kali. Actually said that pride is something which takes you far away from Krishna, and humility is something which brings you closest to Krishna. These two things are 180 degree opposite. One takes you very far away from the Lord and one brings you very close to the Lord. Right? So like that. So this Kali, this Brahmana boy, Krishna has gone and he actually has been influenced by Kali Yuga. He has become an upstart, Prabhupada says over here in. And Prabhupada says in the seventh line of the purport, the little Brahmana wanted to show his prowess in destruction, and he had the audacity to punish such a great king as Maharaj Parikshit. He wanted to take the place of Lord Krishna after his departure. These are the principal sign of upstarts who want to take the place of Shri Krishna under the influence of the age of Kali. So one should not think that because he says, I will not take the matter in hand, I will take the position of Krishna, that itself shows his upstart. Right? There is one lady who once asked a question, you know, in a one class. She said, you know, there are so many people who are, you know, politically, socially, economically doing so many scandals. You know, Krishna, when he was there, he was killing all of them. His devotee should also, you know, kill all of these people, you know, take, because following in the footsteps of Krishna, right? So she was in a very agitated way, very, you know, raised voice, the lady was saying that what the devotee is doing, you know, they should take the left task of Krishna in their hands, right? So then I just remembered one verse from CC, she was asking me actually. So I said, look, Krishna has appeared in Kali Yuga, Kali Kale, Kali Kale Naam Rupe Krishna Avatar Naam Haite Hai Sarva Jagat Nishtar. So Krishna has again appeared in the form of holy name. Our duty is to chant holy name more and more. And by that effect, Krishna will check the demonic forces in this age of Kali. Right? So in this way, a devotee doesn't take Krishna's task in his hand. Rather, he introduces Krishna everywhere, right? By chanting his holy name more and more and more. and therefore the demonic forces in Kali Yuga will be checked by chanting his holy name, right? So in this way, Krishna will continue to do his task, right? Through the chanting of the holy names. Text 36. Iti uktva roshatam raksho vyasyan rishi balaka kaushikiyapu pasprishya vagavajram visasarjah.
The son of the rishi, his eyes red hot with anger, touched the water of the river Kaushika while speaking to his playmates and discharge the following thunderbolt of words.
Right? Vagavajram even so.
Vitanvata ajasya satim smritim hridi swalakshana pradurabhut kilasyatah. Like that he says. So he says that once upon a time when Brahmaji again forgot, when he woke up, he forgot how to create. At that time, one of the Lord's spiritual potencies is called Saraswati. Okay, Saraswati on the material level is Brahmaji's wife. That is a different Saraswati. But this is one of the spiritual energies of the Supreme Lord. So that spiritual energy called Saraswati Shakti, she entered into the mouth of Brahma, through the mouth of Brahma, and she reminded him how to create. So like that, three or four references are given in Bhagavatam. That how when Brahmaji forgets sometimes how to create, how the Supreme Lord facilitates his remembrance of the creative process. So one is he chants tapa tapa. That is just one of the ways. And on Padmakalpa, on the Padmakalpa it happened. The Supreme Lord chants tapa tapa. He hears, Brahmaji hears, and then he performs tapasya. And then he remembers how to create. So second is this instance where the Brahmaji meditates on the Virat Purusha and then he remembers how to create. And the third instance is when the Saraswati Shakti, he enters his mouth and reminds him how to create. Like that. Yeah. Yeah. Fourth chapter of second canto. 2-4. One of the later verses. Prachodita yena pura Saraswati. That is how it starts. Because from the navel of Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu, Brahmaji appears. Not every day it happens like that.
Text 38.
Thereafter, when the boy returned to the hermitage, he saw a snake on his father's shoulder, and out of his grief, he cried very loudly.
Right? So, actually, because of his offense to Maharaj Parikshit, this boy had no happiness in the heart. He was feeling so restless. Right? The peace of mind was stolen away. So, therefore, he was in a great state of agony, and he started crying. Prabhupada also says the boy was not at all happy. So as soon as we commit offense to anyone, immediately Krishna takes away all the joy, all the peace, and our mind cannot find any rest. That's what happened to the boy. Go ahead.
So Brahmanas, the rishi who was born in the family of Angira Muni, hearing his son crying, gradually opened his eyes and saw the dead snake around his neck.
Yeah, go ahead.
He threw the dead snake aside and asked his son why he was crying, whether anyone had done him harm. On hearing this, the son explained to him what had happened.
Right. So the Prabhupada says the father did not take the dead snake on his neck very seriously. He simply threw it away, you know. But the foolish son took it very seriously. Right.
The father heard from his son that the king had been cursed, although he should never have been condemned, for he was the best amongst all human beings. The rishi did not congratulate his son, but on the contrary began to repent, saying, "Alas, what a great sinful act was performed by my son. He has awarded heavy punishment for an insignificant offense."
Okay, so aho batam ho mahad adyate kritam. Aho batam means how great sin you have committed today. Alpiyasi droha urudamo dhrita. He said a person may little bit do a some mistake and you award him death punishment. Right? He said this is alpi, very small. So this is also actually offense. Other person may commit a small mistake, you know, usse haath se kuch gir gaya. Suppose, you know, some person spilled something, some servant may spill something. You don't start beating him, you know, or you don't start cursing him and half an hour you are chastising. Haath se paani ka glass gir jaye, you know, spill a glass of water, servant may spill a glass of water, you know, by mistake. And you chastise him for half an hour, 45 minutes for that. This alpiyasi droha, you know, urudhamo, this is also offense actually. It's very unappropriate punishment, out of proportion. You know, a little bit, no, be careful, don't do it next time. Sufficient. Usko leke, you know, pura, ha, uska koi haath kaat de. You know, that kind of, this is a very out of proportion punishment is an offense actually, in one sense, right? So therefore he's saying it's a sin. He has done a mistake and you are punished him out of proportion. Therefore it's a sin on your part. So that's being pointed out by the sage. Go read ahead.
Text 42. Oh my boy, your intelligence is immature and therefore you have no knowledge that the king who is the best amongst human beings is as good as the personality of Godhead. He is never to be placed on equal footing with common man. The citizens of the state live in prosperity being protected by his unsurpassable prowess.
Right, so he's saying, the sage calls his son as avipakva buddhe. This term is used number of times. Avipakva buddhe, right? His childish mentality, immature thing he has done. Right? He said, by his prowess, the whole kingdom has a prosperity. Right? Like that. Therefore, you have done a wrong act over here. Go ahead.
My dear boy, the Lord who carries the wheel of a chariot is represented by the monarchical regime. And when this regime is abolished, the whole world becomes filled with thieves who then at once vanquish the unprotected subjects like scattered lambs.
Okay, so the Brahmana is saying, we are representing the Supreme Lord. But here his father is saying, look, the Lord is also represented by a monarchical regime. And the Lord is also represented by Vaishyas in one sense. Krishi Goraksha, right? Goraksha is very dear to the Lord. The Vaishyas do that. So in one sense, one should see the representation of Lord in every varna and ashrama. One should not think, I am representing the Lord and he is not. That's a sign of pride. So every varna and ashrama, the Lord is represented because this is from his body it is coming. Right? So therefore, the Brahmana was very proud. But the father is saying, the Lord is represented by a monarchical regime. Right? And if the citizen is unprotected, then the upstarts will actually come and they steal away all the prosperity and the property. Like that. Go ahead.
Due to the termination of the monarchical regimes and the plundering of the people's wealth by robbers and thieves, there will be great social disruptions. People will be killed and injured, and animals and women will be stolen. And for all these sins, we shall be responsible.
Right. So Prabhupada says, the sage rightly takes the responsibility of the Brahmanas as a community for killing monarchical government and thus giving an opportunity to the so-called Democrats. Right. So they said, we will be responsible for this improper governance. Okay, go ahead.
At the time, the people in general will fall systematically from the path of a progressive civilization in respect to the qualitative engagements of the castes and the orders of society and the Vedic injunctions. Thus, they will be more attracted to economic development for sense gratification. And as a result, there will be an unwanted population on the level of dogs and monkeys.
Right, so the Varna Shankara, Shunam Kapinam, Iva Varna Shankara, unprotected people, they will all become involved in religion, and there will be one Shankara, and one Shankara is indicated they are compared to dogs and monkeys. And Prabhupada says the dogs and monkeys are the most shameful, shameless animals. You know, they have openly.
The devotees of the Lord are so forbearing that even though they are defamed, cheated, cursed, disturbed, neglected, or even killed, they are never inclined to avenge themselves.
Right? So these are the Narayana Parayana devotees of the Lord. Remember, they are never inclined to to revenge on their for their any personal, even they are neglected, cursed, cheated, or even killed, they are not inclined to take revenge, the sage is saying. Therefore, he knew that Maharaj Parikshit will not do anything to counter the curse, and my child will be involved in the sin, right? Like that. Prabhupada also writes a brilliant purport, you can go through. Go to text 49.
The sage thus regretted the sin committed by his own son. He did not take the insult paid by the king very seriously.
Go ahead.
Generally, the transcendentalist, even though engaged by others in the dualities of the material world, are not distressed, nor do they take pleasure in worldly things, for they are transcendentally engaged.
So, in this way, he glorifies Maharaj Parikshit. If the one important thing to note is, Prabhupada calls Sringi in the purport, if you see, Prabhupada calls Sringi as immature, inexperienced, uncultured, proud, puffed up, right? And instrument in the hand of Kali, or influenced by Kali, right? Yes, and also wretched of his dynasty, Kulangaram, right? So, and Maharaj Parikshit is never condemned by anybody for his act, right? So one may say, why you are saying Maharaj Parikshit, because he just became instrument of Krishna's will, right? Krishna, he became instrument of Krishna's will. He never condemned. But the Sringi is highly condemned. Every verse Prabhupada is condemning Sringi. You know, after this whole thing started, from 32 to 50, practically every verse Prabhupada in the Parvat has condemned Sringi's attitude. He said, why don't you call Sringi also as an instrument in the hand of Lord and not condemn him? Who will answer this question? Sringi also became the instrument in the hand of Lord. Why condemn Sringi? Just like Parikshit Maharaj became. Favorable instrument. Okay, so Sringi was not favorable. In what way? Sringi was on the side of Kali, but we can say that by Krishna's will he became an instrument in this way, he became an instrument. And why condemn him? Sorry, once again. Oh no, we are saying Maharaj Parikshit also committed a mistake by putting dead snake, but we don't condemn his mistake. We say, no, it was ordained by the Lord. Parikshit Maharaj is not to be condemned. But Sringi is highly condemned. Said, well, Sringi should not be, it's the will of the Lord, don't condemn him. It's the will of the Lord, yes. And he was playing around with children. That is to show the maturity. And then what did he do after he cursed? You know, he was spoke puffed of words and he simply cried. You know, he never repented. There is no mention of his repentance. And what is the result of his mistake? The Brahmana order spoiled. So if you see, his mistake can't be justified by saying that it is the will of the Lord. Because past, present and future, none of them indicate. But Maharaj Parikshit's mistake is never condemned because his past is never like that. Immediately after that, he repented. And not just that, very important point Vishwanath Chakra Thakur says is, Maharaj Parikshit, while he's going back, went to the palace, he realized that I committed this mistake because of thirst. He immediately decided to fast till death. He didn't take water. that something which led him, he continued that thirst and hunger for next 7 days. He said, this hunger and thirst led me to commit the mistake. I will not take any food and water. While on the way to palace, he made the decision to fast till death. Right? See the decision of the king. Right? It's not that immediately bring the water, everything, ate nicely and then thought about it. No. You know? On the way, what led to the thing, on the way he decided to fast for next 7 days. When he came to know that I have been cursed to die, he immediately decided, now I will fast, I will not take water or food. So therefore, looking at the past of the king, his present reaction, and what it leads to, we decide that his mistake is not to be condemned at all. But Sringi's mistake is to be actually condemned. Because he was actually influenced by, he was actually proud. He was actually inexperienced playing with the children. He led to the downfall of the beginning of the Brahminical injustice, as Prabhupada says. You got the point? Therefore, so many faults are attributed to Sringi, and none is attributed to Maharaj Parikshit, who also committed a mistake.
John Krishna says, Ma Manus Marajuddhacha. So because here Arjuna, might be thinking here that, okay, now if I can remember Krishna, then I need not do fighting. So that may be the possible question of Arjuna. So then now Krishna says that, no, you have to do along with your prescribed duty. That is, Ma Manus Marajuddhacha, you have to also do your fighting. Then in 8.8, again, he reaffirms, again, gives importance that you should remember me at the time of death. Reaffirms. So second time, which means he's almost like repeating the same thing as what he said at 8.5. So which means that it is very, very important for us. So next in 8.9 to 8.13, it is remembering Krishna. Okay, how remembering Krishna constantly or like that. So the link is that here, earlier he was giving, only stressing about the importance of remembering Krishna, but we should know how we should remember Krishna all times. That is the most important one. So how we can be remembered? So it is given in 8.9 that there is 10 ways of meditating and thinking on Krishna. That is like a kavi, a knower of everything, past, present and future, is the oldest, a controller, the smaller than the smallest, maintainer of everything, beyond all material conceptions, achintya, always a person, luminous like a sun, transcendental, beyond this material nature. So in these ways, we have to constantly remember about Krishna. Then again, after that 8.9, then there is a link that here Krishna says, going to say about how do Yoga Mishra Bhakta will attain me? That is, will attain Krishna. And in the next section, he says how pure devotional service leads to attaining Krishna. But in this section, how Yoga Mishra Bhakta will try to attain him. And that too, that meditation leads to super soul realization. So in 8.10 to 8.13, it's like using Shat Chakra Yoga at 8.10, chanting of Om at 8.11, then renouncing of sense gratification at 8.12, and also fixing of mind in the heart.
Because the Vedas have to cater to people with varied qualifications. Therefore, whatever is your qualification, you have to select that section of Vedas and take guidance only from that section. Tavan sarveshu vedeshu brahmanasya vijanataha. Brahmanasya vijanataha. One whose desire is self-realization, that person, under the guidance of a spiritual master, only accepts that portions of the Vedas which talk about self-realization. Yavan artha. Aapko jitna chahiye, utna hi lena chahiye. So just because the Vedas are there, that does not mean all the verses are relevant to you. Some verses are relevant to you, some verses are relevant to some other person with a different qualification. Therefore, here Shukadeva Goswami says that an intelligent man whose goal is liberation, he chooses only what he needs from this world of names to achieve his goal of liberation. Which means he does not reject everything, telling that this is useless, this is only names. Brahma Satya Jagan Mithya. He doesn't say it's all Mithya, it does not exist. He says, I understand this is temporary, but for my achieving my goal of liberation, I can use this temporary object to achieve my goal. That is his Yukta Vairagya. The Yukta Vairagya of a person who is aspiring for liberation. Whatever is needed to achieve my goal of liberation, I accept. Anukulyasya sankalpa. Pratikulyasya varjanam. Whatever I don't need, I will reject. Like that. Yes. What they will justify? That's why I mentioned under guidance.
Describe the spiritual world, the abode of the Lord. So here, spiritual world, before going in any place, we have to know what is the characteristics and what I will get. Actually, spiritually or materially, we have to know before going. So that place is, then before coming here, I have heard from Gauranga Prabhu. Prabhu has gone to our country. Prabhu delivered nice class, and I was amazed hearing Prabhu's class. The Prabhu said, who will go to, and His Holiness Bhakti Purushottam Swami Maharaj also said, who will go to Vidyapit, he will complete within 2 years Srimad Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita. I took Srimad Bhagavatam from my Guru Maharaj in 2011, but within 4 years I have completed only 6 lukas. But when I heard from Maharaj, that you will be 100% you will be able to complete the whole Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita with the beautiful part of Srila Prabhupada within 2 years. That time I have taken decisions, anyhow I will go to, but though I am unqualified and I have no any quality for going GB, but I want to relish Srila Prabhupada's Parvat. So here, for this way I have come here. So same way, I will go to Golok Vrindavan, but why will go to Golok Vrindavan? Because that place is eternal, infallible, full of unlimited bliss, fulfill and all desires, and all attractive, unmanifest, transcendental, supreme destination, a place of no but. And then, absolute nature, Krishna's abode is non-different from Him, a replica of Golok Vrindavan. Srila Prabhupada also, here, beautiful Parvat, Prabhu nicely explained in our class that on this...
नमो विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशतारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे सो we'll start the second chapter today, and we have to complete second chapter, so it's going to be a little difficult, so I may not give a break today also. So if you want to take a break in between, you can go ahead and come back. Okay? No, I have to go to Bombay. 2 o'clock. So, okay. So let's start. Before we start, just 2 minutes, if you have any questions, comments about the first chapter, you can ask. Then we will immediately start. So, when such instances are there, it is to see every, we will see this point today also, that every word has an absolute usage and a relative usage. Okay, so when we say the demigods are called Amara means deathless, Amara, those who don't die. But that is not an absolute usage. It is a relative usage. So compared to human beings, their life is so long that it's as good as deathless. So similarly, you know, when at Samadhi, when you say there's absolutely no, you know, distraction, it is in relation to the previous stages of Ashtanga Yoga. It is not in comparison to the absolute level of, you know, no. So that is possible when one reaches the stage of prema, like that. Yeah, it's not complete like that. It's just like the usage of the word anartha nivritti. Is it an absolute usage or is it a relative usage? It's a relative usage. Anartha nivritti means anartha is gone, but what it really means is particular, till a particular threshold, anarthas are gone. But beyond that threshold, like, you know, it is like a sieve, you know. Sieve, you know, it separates bigger particles. Prabhupada here writes in the purport, fourth purport, he says, human energy is spoiled in a search after unwanted necessities. If we study the animals, they have no intelligence to make any comforts for eating, sleeping, etc. But still they are very healthy and happy. Okay. So one may ask, but animals roam around naked. So do you want us also to roam around naked like animals? So Prabhupada says, no, no. Since we have higher intelligence, we should use it for self-realization and not for increasing our comforts. That is the meaning of this. Which means avyartha kalatvam. Don't unnecessarily waste your time in increasing your external material comforts. Spend all the time for self-realization. That's what Prabhupada is writing. Otherwise, such a civilization is under the clutches of Maya. So Prabhupada writes, the great sages lived in simple huts, but they left a great wealth of literatures. Writing in palm leaves, they left great wealth of literatures. But now we have laptops and printing presses and everything. But then we are still recycling the old literatures only again and again. Reprinting. But therefore, the so-called comforts of life are not helpful for progressive civilization. Therefore, the sincere followers are recommended to follow a voluntary life of renunciation. If one is not trained for it from the beginning, then it can start later also. Okay. So if one is not trained from the beginning in a life of renunciation, that's fine. Better late than never. That's what Prabhupada is mentioning. Okay. Which is used to attain liberation. Okay. So we saw yama, niyama, asana, pranayama, pratyahara, dharana, dhyana, samadhi. And after describing this, Parikshit Maharaj has three questions. How is dharana accomplished? And what is the object of meditation, dharana, shreya? And how to destroy the contaminations within the mind which arise very quickly? In response to that, he says, if contaminations are there, then the bona fide object of meditation is the Virat Purusha. And And then by studying one's posture and pranayam, then one can achieve the steadiness in dharana, like that. And then he described how this dharanashraya of Virat Roop is for those people who are, whose hearts are still, they still have some desires for enjoyment. And then the rest of the chapter described the this Virat Purusha, how the